years. And hallelujah. So we've never really made a big fuss or a big deal in years past. It would just years come and years go. But we felt like it was significant this year, because 8 represents new beginnings. And so we feel like the Lord is doing something new, not only in us personally, but in this region and in our church body. He wants to birth something new and launch something new through all of us. And so I'm just excited for this new season. He's doing a new thing. Amen. And I'm excited. One last thing, and we'll jump into the message. I wrote a book 10 years ago. Seems like forever ago I wrote this book. And in 2019, the Lord told me to revise it and to edit it and to update it and to do it again. And I said, no, I don't want to. I did that already. I've already gone down that road. But I just couldn't get away from this thing in me that I was supposed to do this. And so I went forward, and then obviously we know 2020 was crazy, and I finally got it released just a little bit ago, last month, and it's just been, I'm finding, and I've said this before, but I'm finding in this climate, this spiritual climate that we're in, it's very important to have doses and shots of faith and hope. And if you don't have testimony, and if you don't have hope, and if you don't remember what the Lord has done, then you will get weary and you'll get bogged down. And so this book is just a book of remembering what the Lord has done and testimony of his miracle working power. And he worked and did incredible things, and blind eyes were opened and some wonderful miracles. And so the Lord showed me like 8 things that kind of transformed my life. And so if you want to have a transformed life, then read this book. Now, who wants a shot of faith? Oh, right there. Bam. Yes, sorry. Didn't mean to whack you. But there's more in the back, and you could just grab one and be blessed. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 1. And we will jump into this. King Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here. And I just pray for your love, your anointing, your grace, your peace, your presence. Just have your way today, Jesus. Have your way in our church body. Have your way in our hearts personally. Have your way in us. We love you. We magnify you. We honor you, wonderful Jesus. Yeah, thank you, God. Anoint this message and seal it on all of our hearts. We pray this in your precious Son's name. And everybody that agreed said amen. Amen. So you could turn to Psalm chapter 1. How many love the book of Psalms? I'm jumping back into this message. This, I guess it could is turning into a little series called Choices. And, we said this last week. We make our choices, but ultimately our choices or our decisions make us, right? And so it says in Psalm chapter 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither, and whatever he does, it shall prosper." Hallelujah. I want to be, who wants to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water? I do. That brings forth fruit, say fruit, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Who wants to be that like that tree? I want to be like that tree. But as I read this, I understand, and I'm realizing more and more that this is a choice. See, it lays down listen to this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's a choice. Nor sits in the path of the sinners. That's a choice. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. That is a choice. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. I am choosing to delight in you. This is my choice. This is what my heart wants. And I am choosing to meditate in your law, in your word, day and night. Say choices. And the choices that we make today are going to determine the future and the trajectory of our life tomorrow. And so I want to make some good and healthy choices for my life. And we talked last week about, if you weren't here, I'd recommend listening to it so you know what I'm talking about. But we talked about Cujo. And there's this big old guard dog that we had when I was a missionary in Mongolia that protected us. And he did a pretty good job of protecting us. But he also wanted to kill us. And so, you know, he was a guard dog. And I shared last week how I was unwise and naive, thinking that this dog wouldn't hurt me. And forgetting that the dog was even out at 5 in the morning. I forgot that he gets put away at 7 in the morning. And so I go out and I get viciously attacked by this St. Bernard, who we are going to call for this story, Cujo. And I made a bad choice. And because of that bad choice, I had to deal with fear, a spirit of fear, and trauma that was attached itself to my heart and my life for years to come that I had to get free from. And so I feel like it's very important to not be naive of the devil, because the enemy is like a lion seeking whom he may devour. And so we all have a Cujo in our story. And Cujo looks different for all of us, you know. And I could tell you, when I walked through hell, as all of you know, with our daughter, and it was... It was 8 months of hell, but the Lord's presence and His peace and His miracle working power was so evident in our life. But that season was so exhausting and so spiritually and emotionally and mentally draining. Like, we had to give all that we had into this season. And I remember one time, just track with me, because you know Cujo comes in all shapes and forms, right? And so I was. We had just finished 8 months, and we come back to Bishop, and then we had to go back the following week for just a checkup and a blood test and all this stuff. And so we park our car right next to the hospital, and we're thinking we're going to be an hour tops, and it was in like the Vons parking lot. And so we go into the children's hospital, we get the blood test, and it ends up being a little bit longer, and it was just a... You know, it was just a lot going on. There was just a lot of emotions and a lot of stuff swirling and twirling in our hearts. But we come back out to the parking lot after this whole doctor check, and our car's gone. Our car's gone. I'm like, oh, no. I know I parked it right there. I just know it. I know it was right there, and it's not there right now. And I was just like, I'm holding my little girl who doesn't have any hair on her head, you know, because she's just gone through chemotherapy, and my car's gone, and we have no way to get anywhere, and we're stuck. And then I go in and I talk to the manager, and he's like, oh yeah, I had your car towed. Like, excuse me? Like, so yeah, just go talk to that guy. There's a tow truck guy out there. Talk to him. I'm not gonna deal with you. And I could already feel, you know, anger. Resentment boiling up out of me. And so I get out, I find the tow truck guy, and it's this Muslim guy. And he starts cussing me out and calling me a dumb American and, you know, dumb rich kid. And I don't know, this is a while back, I repented, forgive me. But in that moment, it was like all the emotion of the 8 months and all the stuff and how we've kept it cool for 8 months, it just kind of came to a head. And I just lost it. And I just yelled at the guy and said something that I shouldn't have said. And it was like, dang it, Cujo just attacked me. Like, I just fell into a spirit of anger. I just fell into the trap. And so you got to be, you have to recognize that the tactics of the devil, it doesn't always just look like, hey, I'm the devil and I'm coming in with a pitchfork and I got a tail. It comes in through many little manipulative ways. He wants to destroy our lives through offense, through anger, through bitterness, through sin, through all kinds of forms and ways. And so that was a lesson that I had to learn, and I repented, and God forgave me. And but don't get bitten. Don't be unaware of his tactics. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. And so the way that we do that, and what we talked about last week, and I see some different faces, so I'm just kind of going over a little bit. And so last week we just talked about how we have, we don't have sin over here. Excuse me, let's get my teaching right. We have sin over here, and I've been calling it just kingdom living because I just want to sound cool. Living for God on this side. And there, this is the line. And on the other side of this line, and there's always this line in our lives. And on the other side of this is destruction. It's fallen into anger. It's fallen into lust. It's just all these things that just trap us. And so what do you do to not go over the edge? What do you do to not fall into a place where you're like feeling hopeless and full of anxiety and full of sin and full of anger or whatever it is? What we talked about last week is you have to move the line back in your heart. You move it back and you create this boundary. And the way that you begin to create boundaries in your heart and in your life is by living by core values. We begin to live by core values, biblical core values. And as you live by core values, it creates this safety zone, this buffer, if you will, so that you never even make it to the edge. You say, I'm living over here because I've already decided to live my life by biblical values. And I know that the enemy is roaring like a lion and he wants to devour me. And so I'm going to make my choice today on what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't have to wait till all the emotions are so hot and heavy and crazy and I get emotional. No, I'm going to make my decision and my choice today on how I'm going to react tomorrow, respond tomorrow, I should say. Amen? You live by core values and you make better choices. Amen. Everybody, we've all made bad choices. Everybody made a bad choice in their life? I'll share one kind of funny bad story. Bad choice. I was in 2002, I went to Mongolia. I lived over there for 3 years. But after each year, I would come back for a short time. And so in 2003, I came back for my first visit to the United States. I was going to meet my mom's fiance for the first time. And I was so excited to come back and just spend a little time here. And so I'm traveling from Mongolia to America, and I'm sleeping, I'm jet lagged, and, you know, my beard's starting to grow, and it just looks all, I just look just tired. And so I'm like, oh, man, I need to shave. I'm about to meet my mom's fiance. So I'm like ruffling through my bag, and I find this old razor. Yes, score. I forgot that razor had been in there for a year, just sitting in there, you know, and I pushed it into a closet, and it was getting all dirty and rusty, and 2 days before I got on that plane, I was bit by a mosquito in Mongolia, and so I had a mosquito bite on my cheek, and so I don't think anything of it. I grab my dirty razor from my bag, and I shave. And I accidentally cut this mosquito bite. I'm like, oh, bummer, I'm bleeding. So I put some toilet paper, take care of it. And I get off the plane. I'm clean shaven. Everything's good. Meet my mom and my stepdad. And it was a great day. I go to sleep. I wake up, and my face is like 3 times bigger. It's like I have this gnarly infection. And it just blew up like this big. I'm not joking. And so I go to the Mammoth Hospital. They give me a penicillin shot in my behind. which just knocked me out. It was like the most painful thing. And then they're like, you're going to be fine. It's just going to take a few days and it'll start going down. And the pain was going away, but my face was just so huge. And so I just wanted to see some people. And there was people that were like sewing into me that wanted to spend time with me. And so Dave and Stevie Nelson, they're like, we really want to see you. And I'm like, okay. And I see him and like, wow, Mission Field's been really good to you. I see Justin. I see all these people are like, whoa, you know, And it was a very bad choice to shave with a dirty razor. Come on. And I know now I will never do that again. I have learned from my lesson. And so I'm going to pre-decide from this day forward to never do that again. And so we can do that with all areas of our life. We can pre-decide how we're going to live our life. Amen. And so it's like when you're faced with a certain situation, I am going to do this. I'm deciding right now. When another person yells and screams and cusses, and they have since that moment, I've already decided in my heart what I'm going to do. I'm not going to allow that to get a hold of my heart anymore. I'm going to respond. Amen. When faced with a certain situation, I have decided to do this. I have decided to act this way. Come on. And so let's choose core values. And there's core values we've talked about. I won't list them all right now, but there's lots of core values that we should have individually that line up with the scripture. But there's core values that every church should be walking in, and that they do walk in, and that you should lean into. The Church of the Mountain has many wonderful core values of generosity, core values of unity, core values of love, of family, core values of honor. These are core values, and it's based in scripture, and we choose to lean into them as a group. Amen? These are the non-negotiables of our church. And so one core value that I want to talk about today that should be for all of us. It's a choice that we have to make. It's a choice that I have to make. Is this devotion? Say devotion. It says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6:33. And so I feel like it's really important to not just decide and make choices early in life about what you're going to wear or where you're going to go and family stuff, but it's very important. And the most critical thing is to choose that you're going to live a life of devotion to Jesus Christ. And so when all stuff comes at you and all hell breaks loose, you've already made the decision. And so you don't have to like cross that line. You don't have to come to the fork in the road because you've like, no, I made this decision way back here. And so no matter what comes at me, I'm living this way. Amen. Devotion. Devotion is such a powerful word, and it's something that you find in Scripture. I love reading everybody's life from Genesis to Revelation because I see so much passion. I see so much devotion to the Lord. And it challenges me, it convicts me, and it wants to bring me into a deeper realm with the Lord and you as well. And so what does it mean? What does it mean to be devoted to King Jesus? Well, I want to look at a very familiar portion of Scripture. It's in Acts chapter 2. And it says this in Acts 2, 42 and 43. It says, they, speaking of the disciples, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Say awe. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs that were performed by the apostles. I love this because you have this group of people that many of them died as martyrs. And they literally got to this point in their heart and in their life where they said, I'm putting all the chips in the middle of the table. It's Jesus or bust. Like, I'm just going all in for him. And they were so consumed with Jesus. And they were so devoted to him. And it says that the church was added to daily. Daily. Like, people just started getting saved and delivered daily. And this is what a devoted life looks like. It says they were, what were they devoted to? They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to some church. Come on, they were devoted to the Word of God. You know, they didn't have the whole canonized scripture at that time, but we do. So we can be devoted to scripture. We can be devoted to gathering and listening to anointed teaching and preaching. And they were devoted to fellowship. Fellowship is super important. Why? Because the Bible says iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. And so we need each other. And that's been such a tactic of the devil to isolate and to get us away from gathering, because it's like it's in the gathering that we begin to get whole and healthy and free and sharp. We got to sharpen each other. They were devoted to breaking bread. There's something beautiful about breaking bread together, about sharing a meal together. I love the story when the disciples were walking on the road with the resurrected King Jesus, and they didn't know who it was, and as soon as they broke bread, their eyes were opened. Revelation comes as we sit down and share stories with each other. Our hearts begin to open to each other. Amen? And they were devoted to prayer. This is the most important. Living a life of devotion is living a life of prayer. And prayer has to be first in our life. Come on. This word devotion and devoted is an interesting word in the Greek. It actually means ongoing or continual. And so it's not something, it's not like, oh, I had my Acts 2 moment and I was and now I'm devoted because I had a moment. No, it's actually ongoing. And I love that if you read the scripture, it's Acts 2. They have this Acts 2 moment, but then you go over to Acts chapter 4 and they have this other incredible infilling and powerful moment with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus. And so we need constant filling. We need constant devotion, ongoing. Say ongoing. And so the disciples had this single-minded, ongoing pursuit of the Lord Jesus. Nothing could stop them. They were ready to be fed to lions. They were ready to lose it all, to give everything. Like, this is how much the Lord had of their hearts. And this is how much they knew that Jesus was real. And I just feel like we have this revelation, but what are we doing with this revelation? Don't sit on the revelation. Don't take it for granted. Amen. Because this is the revelation and this is the story that changes the world. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Hallelujah. That's so good. I think, you know, many times in our life and in the church, I shouldn't say in the church, but in our culture, in American culture especially, everything's so fast-paced and moving so quickly, and we've kind of become this consumer culture, right? We want everything now. Give it to me now. I want it yesterday. It's me. And so I think if they were rewriting this scripture for the world today, it might say something like this. They devoted themselves to themselves. They continually and passionately pursued a self-centered life of comfort and ease. Why? Right? And I'm not talking about us. I'm just talking about in general in our culture. This is the mindset of the world. And this is what the world is constantly pulling us into. But we have to go against the grain and choose Jesus. Amen. And, you know, every week, every day, we have 24 hours in our day. Right? We have 24 hours in our day. We have 7 days in our week, which you put that together and you have 168 hours in your week. 168 hours. And so that's a lot of hours. And what do we do with 168 hours? Well, we probably sleep a lot. If you're a new parent, you don't sleep that much. But there's going to be a lot of sleeping going on. There's going to be work is thrown into there. There's going to be chores, going to the gym. There's a lot of things that we pack into this 168 hours. And all of a sudden, you know, if you're like me, you realize that you're running out of hours. You're running out of time. And you, especially in this area, it's like you live in Mammoth, you got to drive to Bishop. Or you live in Bishop, you got to drive to Mammoth. Or you got to drive to Crowley. Or if you're in Crowley, you got to drive. We're always driving. We're commuting somewhere, right? There's just a lot of stuff that takes our time. And many people I've come in contact with, and it's happened to me too, but many times we're like, I don't know how many times I've heard this. I just don't have enough time to pray. I just don't have enough time. I now that I have a bunch of kids, and now that I have this job that's demanding so much of me, I just don't have time to get in the Word like I used to. I just don't have time to spend, you know, that time with Jesus like I used to. But this is a huge mistake. And so it's like me thinking, like, I want to get in shape. And so I am going to spend 1 hour every week. And I'm going to work out for an hour, and I'm going to eat great for an hour. And the rest of the week, whatever. You know, I'm just going to do my thing. I'm just going to eat whatever I want. Taco Bell, hallelujah. I'm just going to do it. And then I get frustrated because my hour isn't producing the results. Right? And I've actually done that. You know, it's like, oh, I'm buying organic and doing this and I'm working out a little bit. But unless you begin to make some real changes in your heart and in your lifestyle, and in your sleep and in your water consumption, water's life, amen, you're not going to live healthy. And the same is true spiritually speaking. If we want to live spiritually healthy lives, we have to move some things around on our plate. We have to make real time for the Lord in that 168 hours. Amen. And I've found in my life, in the past, I've found that when I was only partially devoted to God, when I was just giving Him a little bit of my 168, just a tiny bit, an hour a week, a couple hours a week, when I'm giving Him a little bit, I find that it's easier to fall back into old patterns of sin. I find that it's easier to not share my faith. I find that it's easier to be lukewarm. Come on. I find that it's easier. Here's a big one. This is a big one for me, maybe for many of you, that when I am not passionately pursuing Jesus, I often care so much more what people think about me. But when you are pursuing the Lord and when you're in His presence, all the voices, God silences them. And you only care about what the King says about you. And you only care about what your Father is saying about you. Amen. Isn't that good? So say choose. So it's not going to happen accidentally. Oh, I got a stick over here. Hallelujah. I'm not going to whip anybody. Don't worry. It's a big stick. It'll just be. I love props and examples. But it says in John 15. It says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Say, "I'm a branch. And if you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus is the vine, and we are the branch. And, you know, we were cutting some of the branches off the tree, and this is a big branch. And in spring, if I would have just left it going for a while, and in summer, it gets beautiful, and it blossoms, and big leaves, and it's so pretty. But apart from the tree and apart from the vine, this begins to dry out, and it is impossible for this to bear fruit, and it gets brittle, and it can break easy. Well, this can't break easy yet because it was sitting in my sprinkler, so it's really wet. But you know what I'm talking about. So it gets brittle, it breaks easy, but when it is attached to the vine, it begins to bear fruit. And the Bible says it bears fruit, you will bear fruit in season, like it says in Psalm chapter 1. And what is the fruit? What is the fruit that the Lord is talking about? The fruit is love. Say love. Love. Joy. Joy. I got joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. We need kindness in the world right now. There's a lot of mean people. I don't know. Maybe I'm just the lucky one, but I've gotten the finger for like not having a mask and cussed out, you know. And so I just think we have gone off our rocker in the last 2 years. And people that were so loving and respectful, it's like now everybody's just thrown it all out the window and we're treating each other like garbage. And I think if we as the church are connected to the vine, we have kindness. And we need kindness in our world right now. And there's goodness. And there's faithfulness. And there's self-control. I don't have to yell at anybody. I don't have to allow people to, you know, hit my buttons and get under my skin. Because if I'm in Christ, I have self-control. Amen. It says, listen to this. John 15:4. He said, remain in me. Say remain. Remain. As I also remain in you. No branch. Here's a branch. Big, long branch. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That word remain means, as you know, maybe your Bible says this, abide or dwell. And so I have to make this conscious decision and choice to dwell in Christ, to abide in Christ, to remain in Christ. I can't be a Lone Ranger, nor can you. And we love the movies, The Lone Ranger and Tonto, so cool. They could take out so many people just by themselves. But in the body of Christ, it doesn't work like that. In the body of Christ, first and foremost, we need to stay connected to the source, which is Jesus Christ, and we have to stay connected to each other. We have to. Amen. Come on. I'm going to pick that branch up in just a second again. But say branch. So I want to live a fully devoted life, a life of devotion. And I don't want to be a dead limb anymore. I want to have a fruitful life. And I feel like in my own life, I'm just being raw and real and honest. You know, I'm just, when I talk about myself, I'm talking about the last 20 years I've been saved. But there's been these pockets where maybe there's fruit in certain areas of my life. But then there's other areas of my life where I haven't fully allowed the Lord to be Lord. And so I'm bearing tons of peace. And I'm bearing tons of joy. But I have absolutely no self-control. And so I want to yield to the Lord in every area of my heart. And I want Him to be Lord and Master over everything. And I don't want to try and have most of my branch connected to Him and then this other one just kind of doing its own thing. I want to be totally in Him. Amen. And that is a decision. I am deciding that it's Jesus. I am going after Jesus. This is my choice. This is my life. This is what it's all about. At the end of the day, you know, it's just me and Christ. I'm not going to stand there with anything, with any money that I've made, with any good deeds that I've done. I'm going to stand before Jesus. It's me and Him. And it's you and Him. Come on, make a decision to be fully devoted to Him. And I learned this the hard way. And I was doing a lot of ministry on the mission field. And I was discipling these ex-prisoners, these prison boys that were in their teenage years. One of them had killed somebody, and other ones, you know, it was like burglary, all kinds of stuff that they were in prison for, and we were trying to rehabilitate them and disciple them, and it was a powerful ministry, but very exhausting, and 24/7. And so I lived with these guys. We're discipling them. We're preaching all over Mongolia and other nations, started a Bible college, doing other ministries. And so I was literally like burning the candle on both ends. And it was good and it was fruitful. And but at some point you just start getting tired. And something's got to give. At some point, something has to and something will give. And so I'm like, man, I just need to sleep a little bit longer today. I'm pooped, you know. And so I just started having less time with the Lord. And I'll tell you, the less time I had with the Lord, then the more of me began to show up. More of my flesh and more of like a bad attitude. And maybe I started finding myself getting offended with people, offended with the culture, offended and angry with people on my team. And I'm like, what is this? I was like fine a couple weeks ago. And I just, more of me just started coming and showing up to the surface. And so all of a sudden, I remember one particular evening, I was at my home, and one of the Mongolians that was one of our staff members, he was playing his guitar. And he just started strumming his guitar in the living room and just started singing to Jesus in Mongolian. And it was just this sweet song, and it was just right from his heart. And I'm sitting in my room, and all of a sudden, just the presence of God just sweeps into that place. And I just close my eyes, and I just start singing to him under my breath. And all of a sudden, his name is Amma. All of a sudden, Amma pops his head in, and he says, Mike, do you want to worship with me? I said, yeah. And so I run to the living room, and we just begin to worship the Lord and just cry out to him for 2 hours. And then all the boys come home, these teenagers, and they sense like something's different. Something's different in this atmosphere. They said, can we worship with you? I said, yeah. And so all 8 of them, and we just begin to cry out to the Lord and just worship at the top of our lungs. And we just fall on our faces. And I was just undone. Undone. And God just did such a work in my heart. And I went back into my room and just sitting there like, wow, God, you are so good. And I remember the Holy Spirit just speaking to me. And he just said this, I want to give you more times like this. And I actually want to do this for you every day. But you have to make time for me. And in that moment, I was like, gosh, like what have I done? I have been pursuing ministry at the cost of my relationship with King Jesus. I have allowed all this stuff that's good stuff, not bad, really good stuff, but I've allowed it to get in front of my relationship with Christ, and everything was out of whack. And so then I just said, no, I'm going after him. And at the time I'm like, I'm not a morning person. I don't want to get up in the morning, but this is so important to me that I'm going to discipline myself, and I'm just going to start doing what I don't want to do. I'm going to make that pot of coffee the night before, and I'm going to get up at 5 in the morning. And I'm just going to start doing this thing. And so I just did. And it just became a discipline and a choice that I started making and I started doing. And all of a sudden, my life started transforming. And the ministry started getting better. And relationships and friendships started getting better. This is the beauty of living a life of devotion. And so I don't have to wait till Sunday to give him my all. I'm going to give him my all on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday. I'm going to give him such an offering from my heart. Amen. So good. Pre-decide that you're going to be devoted to Jesus. Pre-decide. Make your choice today. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Oh, come on. No turning back. Say no turning back. And so you have to get a game plan. I had to get a game plan in this season of my life. I said, okay, I'm getting a game plan. I'm making my coffee the night before. I didn't have Mount Whitney back then, but I had some good Mongolian coffee. I made some coffee the night before. I said, I'm getting up at 5. I'm going to, this was my plan at the time. I'm going to pray for 20 minutes, or worship for 20 minutes. And then I'm going to pray for 20 minutes. And then I'm going to read my word for 20 minutes. And I just did this. And then I said, okay, I'm growing in this. Now I'm going to do it. I'm going to worship for 30 minutes. And then I'm going to pray for 30 minutes. And then I'm going to read my word for 30 minutes. And I'm like, gosh, that's not even enough. And so I just, more and more, as much as you can do, you'll just fall in love with having more and more time. And so get a game plan. And your game plan is this. Choose a time. You have to have a time. And yes, it's important to talk through to the Lord throughout your day, just as we talk to our spouse and we talk to our friends and we send a text and I love you, hey, how are you doing? It's important to have ongoing conversation throughout the day, but it's also incredibly important to have uninterrupted time where it's just you and King Jesus. And there's not all these distractions, and you turn your phone on airplane mode for a minute and it's like, no, I don't care what comes in. This is me and him. And nobody should be texting me at 5 in the morning anyway. Choose a time. And then you choose a place. We need a prayer closet. And so your prayer closet could be your living room. It could be an actual closet if it's big enough. It could be a bedroom, a spare room. Wherever it is, just get your mug, get your tea, get your coffee, get your water, whatever it is. And just go into that place and just be with him. Choose a time, choose a place, and then choose a plan. What's your plan? Are you gonna worship for 20, pray for 20, read the word for... Just have a plan. Because if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Right? Oh, maybe that's a bumper sticker or something. and then I like to have a Bible reading plan that I go through. And so... I will worship, I'll pray, and many times I'll just hang out in kind of in a worshipful, prayerful mode. I'll hang out in the Psalms and the Proverbs, but then I kind of try to switch, and I just want to do some reading. I just want to grow in the Word, and so I'll have a Bible reading plan where I'm reading specific chapters every day. And so I just would encourage you, just get a plan, and just grow in the Lord. Amen. Just choose. I'm going to be devoted. Say devoted. Devoted. Seeking him first and putting him above everything. And living by core values. You know, just I think I can't reiterate that and say that enough, is make that strong in your heart. And when you have core values, you put this, you have this buffer and you have this boundary between you and whatever that sin is, what you and whatever that thing is, whether it's maybe it's anxiety, it's fear, it's whatever that thing is. You live by core values and you just don't go there anymore. And we're almost done. And Patrick, you can jump on the guitar. But this is how I want my life to look. I want Jesus at the center, at the top of everything. And I think in a lot of our lives, we put all these things. We put work up here. We put our hobbies up here. We put our children up here. We put everything up here, and then we try to give Jesus a little bit less and a little bit of time because we love him. But I think if we have Jesus at the center, if you have Jesus at the top, then all of these other things, your work, your kids, you know, your money, marriage, running out of space, my handwriting looks nasty, that's an R, and what else do we got on here? Vacation, that's like hobbies, yeah. Well, you got the point. You add whatever it is for you. There's all kinds of things, but all of these things get better when Jesus is at the top. When we live a life of devotion, it's like you're not making these things less. You actually have more strength and more energy to do these things better. I am a much better dad and husband when I'm giving Jesus my all. And I've, you know, the same thing that I found in Mongolia, I found as a dad. You know, there's times when I'm like, you know, you're just changing diapers. You're in that mode and you're just running after kids and you're doing this and you're doing that and you're just feeling tired. And there's been times when I'm like getting, you know, snap at the kids or say something. And I'm like, gosh, I'm realizing I need to come back to the quiet place. I need to fill up and just fully just get immersed in his presence. It's so important. And when I do that, all these other things function so much better. And they actually thrive, right? Because I'm beginning to, I have peace, I have joy, I have love, I have self-control. Hallelujah. Isn't that good stuff? And so, say 168. What are you going to do with your 168? And it's important to remember, too, whenever you make a big decision to follow Christ and to put him first in your life, just know that, like, some distraction is going to come. Some big opportunity is going to come. Something, like, the moment, the morning, you just get so excited. You know, something's going to come. But if you pre-decide and you make that choice beforehand, like, no, like, Jesus is my all. He's my everything. He's the first place in my life. And so whatever opportunity comes, it will not override this. And if we keep it in proper perspective and proper alignment, then we will live a happy and a healthy and a vibrant life. Amen? And we will be the branch that isn't just brittle and dried out and breaking all the time. But we will be a branch that is bearing beautiful fruit. There's so many beautiful trees that are beginning to blossom and bloom around the Eastern Sierras right now. And I love some of the flowers and I love springtime. Springtime is just such a time of refreshing and such a time of newness. And just allow yourself to see yourself in that light. That whatever has been in your yesterday is over. And whatever bad decisions and choices that were made in your yesterday, that's behind you. And we can be fully in Christ, and we can remain in Christ. We can choose Jesus today. We've all done things that we're not proud of, and we've said things that we are not proud of. But the beautiful thing about Jesus is that if you turn to him and you repent, he forgives you and he helps you to live the life that your heart longs to live for. And so, Jesus, I just ask you for grace today. I ask you for grace over every one of our hearts. Lord, every heart in this room is desperate to know the creator of the universe. Every heart in this room there's just a deep longing in you. Even if I don't know you that well, I know that there's a deep longing in you because the scripture says it. It says deep cries to deep. And God, the creator of the universe, he fashioned you and he formed you with this deep place in you that will not be satisfied except for anything else but the deep places in God. And so there's this part in your heart that is longing for him and longing to live a life fully devoted. And so, God, we just choose that right now. We choose devotion. I just want you to close your eyes, lift your hands. just want you to choose today. Make a choice today. I know we all love Him. We're all serving Him. He's King of our lives. But just, can we just go even farther? Say, Jesus, I give you my all. I give you everything. I put all the chips in the middle of the table. I don't want to hold anything back. My life is yours. My heart is yours. My family is yours. My marriage is yours. My career is yours. My decisions are yours. Everything I have and everything that I will be is yours. My money is yours, King Jesus. My life is yours, King Jesus. My heart is yours, King Jesus. Everything, the dreams in me, they're yours, Lord. I give them to you. I place them on the altar. And if none of those dreams and if none of those prophetic words come to pass, I don't care. I just want you. I just want you. I want to know you more than anything. So I just want you to have a moment as we just worship in closing. I feel like the Lord is here and reviving some hearts and reviving. I feel like people are reviving and refreshing some commitments. And if you've never committed your heart to the Lord, today is the day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So make a choice today. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Yeah, just grab hands just for a minute. And just pray for that person on your right and your left. And then we're going to just have a moment personally with the Lord. But just pray for that person. And if you need prayer for something just going on in your life and something going on in your heart and you're just feeling troubled or you're feeling heavy, worn down, I just want you to squeeze that person's hand just so they could just pray a little harder over you right now. Release a little bit of life over you. Just give that person a little squeeze. Stronger fire is you rub two sticks together. You put two fires together. Sometimes we just need a little bit of encouragement from a brother or sister. You need some of their fire. So God, we just thank you for the fire of the Lord in this room. We thank you for the encouragement of the Lord, for hope. That hope is rising. Hope is rising. I command all condemnation and shame to leave now in Jesus' name. Spirit of condemnation and shame, go from this place and go from our families and our relationships now in the name of Jesus. You have no place and authority in this room. And we thank you for hope, hope rising and joy rising and healing rising. And we thank you for healing being released right now in Jesus' name. Healing. Yeah. Now just for the next few minutes, now I just want you to have a moment with Jesus. Just set your eyes and your heart and your focus on Him. And whether you love Him, whether you've already made that choice, we could just still say with confidence, my heart is yours. could still decide today, I give you everything. I love you with all. And so let's just do that. Let's just take a few minutes and just worship him.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior holy thy. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. More than a song, Lord. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. More, Lord. More, Lord. I'll bring you more than a song. I'll bring you more than a song. More than a song. Looking into my heart, into my heart. You're looking into my heart, into my face. All is stripped away, and I simply come. Longing just to bring something to work that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. You, Lord, one who gave his all so I could live. It's all about you, Lord. Draw us near into the real thing, God. 'Cause we want the real thing, Lord, in our everyday. Help us to follow you. To follow you moment by moment. Give us ears to hear your voice. Your voice. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. you're so worthy, God. You're so worthy, God.
Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for a group of devoted people. Lord, we just choose this day. We want to be like the disciples. We want to be devoted to the Word of God. We want to be devoted to church. We want to be devoted to fellowship. We want to be devoted to breaking of bread and to prayer, to fellowship with you. We choose a life of devotion. God, I pray blessing over every person in this room. Grace, protection, peace in their heart. In Jesus' holy name, God, I pray be with every person as they go and bless this church, bless this state in Jesus' holy name. Everybody that agreed said amen. Amen. Have a beautiful day. God bless you. And we have a 4 o'clock service in Bishop. Otherwise, we'll see you next week right here. God bless.
Time for the sleeper to wake. It's time for the old winds to change. I hear the Spirit say it's time. It's time for the dead man. It's time for the green.